Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this. We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gayamagal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present, and emerging.
Hey, bestie.
Do you know what I don't have time for?
Oh, my God. I love this podcast so much, you guys.
Hey, guys. Hi, Jim and Lance.
Do you know what I don't have time for this week?
Imposter syndrome.
I love support.
What do I do with that?
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Bestie Hotline.
Bring, bring.
I'm your host, Kate Reeves.
And I'm Gemma Peanut.
And it's Friday and there's a woman in town.
That's not irritating at all on a Friday. I apologize.
Sorry. Sorry. I'll see myself out.
Get back in your box.
Back I go. Hey guys, hi. Incoming weekend. Nothing brings on the anxiety like dilemmas hovering over your Friday. Can't be done. We've got to get them out of our bodies.
Well, let's start by harvesting. We've harvested one.
Okay.
This is a juicy one this week, Rebsy. Okay. It's not trivial. It's quite a big one. And I think one that many of us will be able to relate to.
Oh, okay. I'm on the edge of my seat.
It's another written one. I'm enjoying doing some written ones because I feel like DLs are opening up a little bit more, you know?
Yes.
There's something about the anonymity or being like being a troubled DL, having the safety net of a keyboard rather than exposing their voices.
Yes.
So we understand.
I do.
She says, hoping for some insight about old friendships / friendship changing in motherhood. I'm a new mum and I feel like my best friend of 20 years has been really unsupportive since I fell pregnant. I get that we're older and our lives are busy, but I got maybe 1 to 2 check-ins from her during the entire pregnancy and since my baby was born. She visited recently, but we spoke about her the whole time and next to no questions about the baby or how I've been. I had a pretty traumatic birth and would have expected a check-in with how I am. I understand that some people aren't as interested in babies or starting a family and that people pre-kids just don't get it. I sure didn't, but I can't help but feel really annoyed with her behavior. I don't know whether to say anything or just let the friendship fizzle and move on. I don't want to hold on to this bitterness or resentment. Mm. Has anyone had a similar experience or advice on dealing with divides between mum friends and childless friends once babies are born?
Okay.
I've got an instinct straight away.
Okay.
I don't think she should give up on the friendship because I have been the friend.
Yeah.
The shitty friend.
Who didn't get it.
Who didn't get it. And she will come around. I think in terms of letting it fizzle out, maybe our DL needs to mentally tell herself that she's stepping away and come what may with the result of the friendship. But I think that friend will be back.
Mm.
The tricky thing here is the one-sidedness of the relationship. Even though I was the friend who didn't get it, and Revs, maybe you can give me some home truths here about how I was, but I don't necessarily know if our experience of you having a baby before anyone else and having lots of childless friends around you, if you felt like we didn't check in enough. Can you give some insight?
I'm trying to remember. It was like almost 10 years ago. Yeah, I definitely felt lonely. Mm-hmm. And I know of all of our school friends, let's just use that, our close friends, I know I leaned on and have made deep relationships with my mother's group more than any of us. Mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot about
where you were,
where I was at, yeah, and what I needed.
Just for context, DLs, what Rebs is referring to is that by the time I came around to motherhood, I already had friends with kids. So I had an inbuilt mother's group that, yeah, I kind of stepped into and joined.
Yes.
Whereas Rebs's experience of mother's group was it became her lifeline.
Yeah, it was. And I've made 3 lifelong friends. We're still really, really tight and our kids are still friends.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm grateful for that, but it was absolutely necessary because I didn't have any, or not many, other friends with kids. Look, the only time that really sticks out is your wedding. And that was a heightened time, you know, and I was very much aware of like, I've had my wedding, I've had my bride time and my time in the spotlight and I had my hens and all those things. It's Jem's turn, as I felt for everybody's wedding, and was excited and part of it and everything, but I found no one could get traveling with a baby, like, you know, even for the good mum's wedding, I had my first night away from my baby,
which is huge.
And everyone was like, are you so excited to have a sleep? And I was like, oh, I'm feeling emotional, you know, but yeah, like not really being, I didn't want to ruin the mood and not really being able to share that emotion because I didn't want to be a dampener, or, you know, there's a lot of feelings.
Mm.
I guess what I can offer, I look back at me with my first kid and I know I can be honest now with almost 10 years distance and say I was very sensitive. That's okay.
It's interesting that you say that because I can hear the fragility,
yeah,
and the vulnerability in our DL,
yeah,
as she writes.
Totally. And I think you have to be, because you are. You are sensitive. You are vulnerable. You are not just you anymore. You are worrying about another little person. Mm. You're full of hormones. You're full of feelings. You're experiencing a lot of emotions for the first time. Everything is heightened. It's also a profound experience to become a mum for the first time. I find it can be a little reductive when people say like, oh, they don't get it, but it's the only way to say it. Like, because you don't want to exclude anyone if they're not a mum yet, or if they never want to be a mum, or if they're child free or any of those things, but it is very profound and it consumes you. It's all you can think about. I thought about my birth for a year.
Did you?
Every day for a year. I felt it was like the most profound and special thing that I'd ever really been through.
Wow.
And of course no one can join me in that, you know? No. And maybe people did check in or they did ask me, but it never felt enough because it could never meet the enormity of the feelings I was feeling. So I will say to our DL, like, I hear you and all your feelings are so valid, but you might look back on this time and be like, whew, I was really sensitive and I found that a really hard time. Look, maybe she's a bit selfish, you know?
And don't you reckon that that is highlighted and heightened?
Yes.
When you have a baby?
Yes.
Because you are in the season of life where you are required to be the most selfless.
Yes.
So it can feel a bit on the nose
when someone's
when
selfish.
Suddenly your friend comes into your orbit and starts talking about their problems.
Yeah.
And you're like, honey, you don't know real problems.
Yeah.
I haven't slept,
yeah,
for months. I can't even have a shower in peace.
My body's not my own. My, yes, relationship's in tatters. All these really huge things are going on. I think you're only kind of hurting yourself though to get angry about that in a vacuum.
And to lose a friendship
and to lose a friend
maybe you're not sure about losing or, yeah, letting go of.
But I think on the flip side to that, it is also okay to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
I think any relationship, you're allowed to take a step back. You're allowed to take a breather. I think, you know, millennial women, most of us grew up as people pleasers and we feel like we have to like always either be in the relationship or depart the relationship. Mm-hmm. But there is another space that's kind of like, you know what? This is a bit hard for me at the moment, so I'm just going to take a break for a while. You don't have to end a friendship.
No.
You don't have to break up. You don't have to be confrontational.
Friendships can evolve completely organically.
100%.
And sometimes time just takes over.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Rebsy, about the stepping back. You can kind of like almost put the ball in their court,
yeah,
to reach out to you. The whole checking in thing as well, from someone who had a friend with a baby when I was so not anywhere near the season of having a baby. I was going through a major breakup,
yeah,
when Revs had Isla, and I was in a very selfish headspace trying to understand what my life now looked like without the person who I thought was my forever person. And in terms of the checking in, I had no idea what a bombshell having a baby is on your life. So I was like, she's chill.
She's just at home, I think.
She's at home. Yeah. Yeah. Like I genuinely was. I was like, yeah, well, she's got a baby, so she's just hanging out at home a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't understand the hormone surges, the emotions, the mum guilt, the whole postpartum journey, which we now understand to be enormous, but it didn't come from a place of malice or deliberately not checking in.
Yeah.
If anything, it was, she's busy now.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to share the flip side where there is an element of grief of like, oh, I've lost my mate to motherhood. And I know that sounds incredibly selfish and it is.
It is, but it's real.
But it is real.
Yeah.
Like Revs couldn't come out and socialize. There was a dinner party that I hosted and she came with her then husband and Isla and they had to leave prematurely because Isla
wasn't coping.
She wouldn't settle in a new environment. And I remember being very disappointed.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. And I didn't understand that you were disappointed. I just remember being like, oh, she had to leave. I just baked my first salmon. That's right.
I made seven. I cooked. You were really cosplaying that because you were like house sitting.
I was house sitting.
And you were like, I'm going to have a dinner party.
Yeah. I made salmon. I burnt my arm. Yes. Like all of it. I went to so much effort. And then, you know, Rebs's night got hijacked because of course. And now with the hindsight, I understand.
Yeah. It's hard for everyone. And I think if you can extend empathy to your friend, even if they don't get it, if they don't want children, if they don't get it yet, or potentially if they're feeling left behind, there could be a lot of things going on and maybe she just doesn't know how to reach you right now, or maybe she's just a bit selfish and that won't survive this season of life. But as you say, maybe it'll come back. Yeah, I don't know if you need to sort of address it head on. That sounds like a massive energy exchange you do not need at this time to like address it. Because what would you even say?
Yeah.
I feel like you don't care about me enough.
And from their POV, it's like, okay, sorry.
Sorry.
You know, I can see how people would get defensive about that. Mm. I think the best thing to do is to take a break, as we said, put the ball in their court, see if they reach out, see if they check in, see if they miss your friendship, and lean into people who fill your cup a bit more, people who do care, who want to know about your baby and how you're going and check in.
Yeah.
Nurture those relationships.
That's a really good idea. Because some friendships don't survive new seasons.
They don't.
And that's sad, but it's also okay.
Yeah.
Some friendships don't mature with you into the next stage of life. And it can be, hurtful, but it's also, she's saying, I don't want to stay in these toxic feelings. I really get that. Mm-hmm. And is there any worse time for like rumination when you're up at night with a baby or when you're stuck at home, when you're not back at work yet, or all those things, when you just have all this like stew time and you can get fixated?
And an added layer is when you have all this time that you're idle with a baby, you might be seeing their life on social media.
Yeah.
And seeing them out with other friends, partying, going to events, I don't know, whatever it is, but it can feed into your fury isn't the right word, but I guess feeling insecure about your relationship with this person.
Yeah. The thing as well is female friendship is really magical and can be really challenging. It's kind of both ends of the spectrum. It can all really be really true, but we have to make space for everyone's problems wherever they are. Mm. Someone's always going to have it objectively tougher. Someone's always going to have something that seems trivial. The friendships that survive make space for all of it.
Yes.
You know? And like, yeah, sometimes if you're not in the space to help with a problem that seems trivial to you, what would you want in return? If you were having boy drama when someone had a newborn, would you still want that friend to make a bit of space for you? You probably would, you know?
If you're really missing the relationship, it might not hurt to just send a text being like, hey, babe, I know I just had a baby. Just want to say I really miss you.
Yeah.
And just checking in with you.
That's nice.
Yeah.
If you can reframe it, flip it, put your thang down, flip it and reverse it. It feels like the healthy way of dealing with toxic feelings. But I really get it. I get the middle of the night, home with the baby, rumination on the way your relationships change, because so many relationships change all at once overnight, and it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope that was helpful.
It's a big one. I really feel for you, DL. It's a massive adjustment. But if this friend joins you in the path of motherhood, then trust that they will be back.
Yeah. And you might get that, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't get it.
I did it to Rebs.
Yeah. My sister's done it to me. Like, you know, and I don't know if you are one of the first or if it's just with this relationship. Like, you do kind of have to own your place in the running of things and be like, well, I was one of the first. This is kind of the...
It's your cross to bear.
And your rite of passage. The good thing is you'll be out of it and through it. And I promise you won't be stuck in this feeling forever. Like, you'll be past it and out of it before everyone else. Well, happy weekend, DLs.
We're sending everyone lots of love. We hope you've got fun things planned.
Yeah.
And if you are a mama stuck under a bubba, we wish rest upon you.
And fresh air.
Yes.
And hot coffee.
Get out of there. Get out of the house. Get out of the funk.
Get out of the head thoughts if you can.
And DLs, as always, we will be back in your ears bright and early on Tuesday morning.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the three MCO Beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number two would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it, called it.
I mean, I love the Sun-Kissed Bronze look, obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be...
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favourite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today.